Good evening, everyone. We can get started. Start with a quick word of prayer. As the psalmist states, teach us, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and we will observe them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law. Yes, we will keep them with our whole heart.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask right now that you just pour into us once again, Father.
Yes.
We ask that we hear from you, Lord, and none other, Lord, that we may walk this path and keep diligent, Lord, and keep faithful to you for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Tonight we're going to actually cover a not so well-known parable, believe it or not, and that's the parable of the two sons. But in order to get a really good understanding of this parable, you actually have to read a few more scriptures that come before this parable. So the parable of the two sons, it's actually found in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. However, to get the gist of what he spoke of, he meaning Jesus, what he spoke of in those verses, you got to go back to verse 23 through 27 to understand the circumstances, if you will. So I just want to read those verses right quick.
Can you repeat the verses?
Mm-hmm. Verses 23 to 27 of Matthew 21. And so it reads as follows. It says, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm going to pause right there to say that Jesus wasn't avoiding them, avoiding answering the question. In fact, if you read how teachers taught back then, they taught by questioning. Okay, mm-hmm. They would question you and it would lead to the answer in the end, right? And basically he wasn't avoiding them, but he was like, we're gonna get to the answer by me asking you a question, right? And then we can get to the answer. So he ends up saying to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. And he goes on to ask the question. He says, the baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?
Mm.
And the religious leaders began reasoning among themselves. John MacArthur said, what they did is just said 1 minute and they go over it. They went and got in a huddle, mm-hmm. right? And they said, huddle up, fellas. And then they said, okay, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him?
Mm-hmm.
That is John. Why didn't you believe John?
Mm-hmm.
Better not go there. But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all agree, John as a prophet, right? They all regard John as a prophet. So, man, we don't want to go there either.
Mm.
So then they said in verse 27, they said and answered Jesus, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now he goes into this parable. Mm-hmm. He's still talking to the religious leaders and basically said, I'm going to give you an easier one. Okay, since you didn't answer that one, I'm gonna give you an easier one. Here it goes. But what do you think? A man had two sons. Let's call this man Elder Julian, all right? So can you just put Elder J up there for a moment? All right, we just don't mind. So a man had two sons, right? Make it big enough so people can see it. Elder J, right? We just gonna say Elder J for time. And had two sons. And he came to the first. So the first would be Junie. So can you write Junie? He came to the first. You wrote here, Junie, right? And see, because when they usually say first in the Bible, it's usually the oldest, eldest or older son, since it's two. It was the older son, right? So he came to Junie, right? And he said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And we'll just say, go work in the garage. We're going to get that garage together, Junie, right? And 29 says, and he answered, this is Junie, I will not. Maybe this is not a good example. Maybe it's not a good example. Because, you know, I could just see right now, boy, I brought you to this world.
Yes.
But we'll just say it's an example. So you go, it's just an example. Hypothetical. So we just gonna say, you know, Judy said, I will not and live, right? But afterwards, he regretted it. Mm. He regretted it and went. Mm-hmm. All right?
Right.
All right, so then the man had a second son. So obviously you're gonna say Aiden right now, right? You're gonna write Aiden. You're gonna write Aiden down. And so Aiden says to him, I will, sir. You see how he buttered it up? He said, I will, sir. I will go to the garage and I will, yes, I will, sir. But guess what? Aiden did.
He didn't go.
He didn't go. So one said, no, I will not.
And
regretted it. And he went. He went anyway. The other one, Aiden, he said, yes, sir, I will. I will go. Yeah, I will gladly. Right, I will gladly go. And he what?
He didn't do it.
Right. He didn't do it.
Well, there's something there that you gotta press to get the sound. And with mine, I have to press over internet.
Oh, so who is that?
There's mother-in-law.
And it says, the man came to the second and said to the same and said to him, and he answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Then it goes and says in the 31st verse, which of the two did the will of his father? Mm-hmm. Which of the two did the will of his father? And of course, the religious leaders, they said what? The first, right? Mm-hmm. The first did it. And then Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward, so as to believe him. Mm. Wow. Wow. So they started with questioning Jesus' authority. Mm-hmm. And they evade that question. And of course, back in those days, they said rabbis and teachers were real good at like avoiding giving an answer to things. And they had ways of getting around questions and everything else. And they used it fully on Jesus's question. And they did not answer that first one. But Jesus ends up kind of honestly setting them up a bit.
He did.
Because he comes back and he says, I'm going to give you an easier one. But actually, this easier one, they took the bait. They took the bait because, see, Jesus set it up like this. He ends up asking them an obvious one. You don't need to go back and huddle up on this one, fellas, do you? This is so easy that you can just go ahead and answer it. And matter of fact, he did it in a way where it, in a sense, it was almost like offensive. It was so easy by just asking.
That's right.
And how was it offensive? Well, think about it. If you look at the two sons, and we see Junie here, let's do the results. So Junie's first, he said, what? What did the first son say first?
No.
He said no, right?
Right.
But he said no.
Okay.
Right? He said no. But then just draw a line. But then he ends up saying yes. Right? He ended up going, right? Aiden says yeah. Yes. And matter of fact, can you put an exclamation point by that yes? It's just an explanation. No, no, not that one. That one, yeah, it's cool. You can do that too, because he probably said no.
No.
But then he says, but he didn't go. He didn't go, right?
See?
So here's the thing. He said, that's a bad example. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now just think about it. This is how, this was almost offensive as to how Jesus set this question up. Now just think about it, and let's go back to our times. Let's come up to our times. If you have an older child, usually that older child, or the oldest child, they've been around for a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And they know how the warden or the parent operates, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they have like those kids that come after them, mm-hmm. like you have Jalen first, and then all of a sudden by the time Kelsey gets here, he knows how things operate, and he can say, when Kelsey makes a mistake, he can say, Kelsey, right? No, Daddy don't like that. You don't want to do that one, right? And they kind of like teach the younger ones for you along the way, right? They usually do that. At least in my house, they taught Kelsey so well, I didn't have to talk to Kelsey much. Because pretty much, you know, Kelsey said something crazy, then both of them were like, Kelsey, no, you don't want to do that. Right? Or you don't want to do that.
They teach them how not to get caught.
And right, they teach, yeah, right. I do. Right. So, yeah. That's they, awesome. Let me tell you a better way to do it, right? Let me tell you a better way to do it. That was some of that too going on. Right? and yet, and here it is. What'd you say?
This is the better way to not get caught.
This is the better way to not get caught. Wow. Wow. Okay. So Julie, so this one makes this one kind of crazy. It's because Julie, you know, he would have started off and he would know better, usually traditionally. You would know better not to go on that route and then kind of like end your life right there. Right, with a no like that. Usually you will go.
But he got a patient calendar though. He knows that.
See?
He knows he's got a
oh, here we go. So then he goes up here and he says to Aiden, and when Aiden responds, Aiden not only responds positively, mm-hmm. but he responds positively with an exclamation point. So what does that mean? He sells his yes, don't he?
Yes.
He sells it. And the father gets the impression that what?
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah,
it's going to be clean.
This is going to be done. Right? It's going to be done. Hey, I know what to do. I got you. I got you, Daddy. Just go ahead and say, now I got you, right? He kind of sells it, right? But now let's go ahead and look at it from the spiritual perspective, right? Who will represent the first son? Who would represent the first son? Spiritually, who would represent the first son? Who do you think? In this story, who would represent the first son?
Sinners.
The prostitutes and the tax collectors, didn't that's what they said?
Yeah.
They said the tax collectors and the prostitutes, right?
Right.
Right? These two represented the first son. How did they represent the first son? Let's go into that a bit more. How did they represent the first son? Spiritually now. We're talking spiritually now. How did they represent the first son?
They said they practiced by what they practiced and what they actually did initially.
Was a no.
Was a no.
Yes.
Yeah. However, it ends up being a yes. How does it become a yes?
After the word gets inside of them and they repent.
Regret for that, having a sorrowful heart. Yeah.
And what made them have that regret? We got to go back to those previous verses.
They heard John the Baptist.
That message.
Wow.
That message, right? So their response to the message ends up being yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being a yes. So let's look at the second son. Mm-hmm. Who represents the second son?
The Pharisees.
The religious leaders. The religious leaders, they gave you initially a what?
Yes.
A yes in what way?
Legalistic.
Legalistic, yeah. and a yes, not.
Not in the heart, well, just with the mouth. They served him with their mouth, yes. But their heart was far from it.
They gave you a yes right here.
Yeah.
Right? They gave you a yes from here, but they didn't give you a yes from here, right? Matter of fact, they gave you a yes from here, but inside they were really saying
no.
And did they end up responding to the message of John the Baptist?
Not at all.
No, right? It was no both ways. It was no both ways. Inwardly and in terms of what they heard, they rejected it. They were like, no, right? So this was the tax collectors and the prostitute, and this son represented the religious leaders, right? Any questions or any additions before we go on?
So another way of saying this is better actions not always equal better outcome.
Better actions
does not always equal better outcome.
Give me some more to that. Help me understand that more.
Because this is a yes, and you know they might show that they were saying yes,
sure.
But the outcome was a no. That doesn't mean a yes outcome.
So they show, but it don't mean that it's gonna be.
So basically you look at that as they gave a verbal yes, but they did not. So action speaks louder than words.
Actions speak louder than words. I like it. Matter of fact, I wrote that one down. I wrote a couple of other ones down. But let's do this, let's go this route because I think I like when you say show, because there's a word that I wrote down and it has two definitions and I want us to talk about it. And the word is profession. Mm-hmm. Profession. Mm-hmm. Here's the first definition of profession. An act, A-C-T, of declaring that one has a particular feeling or quality, especially when this is not the case. Y'all hear that?
Wow.
An act of declaring that one has a particular feeling or quality, especially when this is not the case. But here's the other one of a profession, which is kind of interesting, and you got to think about this one to see the connection. A paid occupation, especially one that involves prolonged training and a formal qualification. How does those two definitions fit what's going on here? The first one is easy, right? The first one is easy, an act of declaring that one has a particular feeling or quality, especially when this is not the case. So we can just reduce all those words to one. They say, lie. Right? Right? You really didn't have any intentions of doing what you
said
you were going to do. But then a paid occupation, especially one that involves prolonged training and formal qualification. How does that one fit into this? You got to think about it. How does it fit into it?
Well, I mean, if you talk about those people that were represent in that group, if I understand you, they were representing the prostitutes and the tax collector, right?
That group was representing the religious leaders, that profession.
Right.
And you're right, it also applies to the first one as well. So I don't want to get stuck on both, on one, but both. So you were going to the first one. So how does it do that? You're right. Well, so how does it apply?
I guess on the one hand, from the physical to the spiritual, you talk about the prostitute. That is the world's oldest profession, they say. I'm just trying to keep it real. And then the tax collector, someone who had to learn how to work the system, right? Had to learn how to be a little bit conniving, maybe have some people in his back, maybe a little education. But I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no denying what you said. That's true. That's true. That is true.
And they get good at it by practice.
And you get better at practice.
And also, kind of this way, so like, if it's a paid profession, you said that requires qualification. Usually that qualification would come through, like, I don't know, maybe having a degree or a piece of paper, but that doesn't really mean anything. Your actions don't permit that you actually study.
Okay. That's a different twist. I didn't think about that either. Y'all got some of that stuff I didn't even think about.
So like,
yeah.
You can have a degree in, you know, being in medicine, but you can still have medical practice as well.
Right.
So having that degree doesn't mean it.
I see what you're saying. Let me give you guys what I was trying to hit at here. So you have this second definition, and it says a paid occupation, right? Especially one that involves prolonged training and a formal qualification. Pharisees. How are they grown up and how did you become a Pharisee? A lot of schooling and education and everything else, right, along the way. And Paul said I was a Pharisee of Pharisees because I was taught by, I was one of the better top class of the Pharisees, right? And so I was good at practicing
Phariseeism.
Phariseeism, right? I was good at practicing it, and practicing it means that I displayed all of what I needed to display on the outside, right? I had it down on the outside, right? But he said on the inside, I was what?
Dead man's bones, right?
So in those two aspects, right, you can see how that outward profession with no intent They had no intent in following. Think about it. They had no intent in following John's message. Go way back to those other earlier verses. They were asking Jesus, you know, where do you get this authority? And then Jesus goes back and asks them, John's message, did it come from heaven or from man, right?
Right.
Because the whole point was centered around how are you going to respond to John's message? Mm-hmm. And it shows that from the very beginning, they had no intentions of following John's message, right? It's far from it, right? Far from it. They had no intentions of doing that. And yet, while they had no intentions of doing that, they were still trying to profess. They were still trying to display and show everybody else that they had it all together.
With their lips.
With their lips, right? They had it all together. So they were in this thing of professing. They had both definitions kind of covered there, right? And one writer said this, it's dangerous when you become self-satisfied with your profession.
Mm.
You hear that? Mm. It's dangerous when you become self-satisfied with your profession.
Mm.
And that's what they did. They became self-satisfied with it. And how did they become self-satisfied with it? They had no intentions of doing different. Right? They had no intentions of doing different. Any other comments before I move on?
It's a comment in the chat. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I just want to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because this has come up before. Did they feel that John was less than they were because they were educated, so to speak? And here you got this wild man in the wilderness eating locusts and honey and walking around in his coarse garment. So how could they accept his message because of who he was and who they were?
And that's a relevant question. It's a relevant question because when I was studying this passage, it said, don't get lost in what the definition of a tax collector is.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get lost in the definition of what a prostitute is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get lost, because what those terms represent is scum of the earth.
By any metric.
You hear that? Mm-hmm. Scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's how, they said, that's how you should look at these two sets or these two terms. They were considered scum of the earth, right? And if they were considered scum of the earth, what did Jesus say in the last verse of this passage? What did he say? Verse 22, I think. I mean, verse 32 or
32. Even the weight of righteousness.
Yeah.
And you did not believe.
Yeah.
The tax collectors and prostitutes.
Yeah.
Believe him. And you seeing this, you not even feel remorse after it, so as to believe in him.
That's my second point. Go back to the, then that got to be the 31st verse that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, he says here. Which of the two did the will of his father?
Mm-hmm.
They said the first.
Yeah.
Jesus said, truly I say to you that the tax collector and the prostitutes get into the kingdom of God before you.
The scum of the earth will get into
the
kingdom of God before you and all your prestige and you're right. Yes, that's how they looked at themselves. They looked at themselves being
above
everybody else, right? That arrogance and everything else. But Jesus put them on notice and said, the scum of the earth, because they had the right response, right?
Right.
But they were not.
They were not.
The first shall be.
You're anything above it.
And that's it. And what's interesting is, go back here, because I want to make sure that we paint the picture clearly here. No, then yes, yes, then no. By these terms, are either of these good sons?
Not innately.
No. Neither one are good sons, right? And neither are we, right? When we get down to it, if you want to consider yourself a Pharisee or if you want to consider yourself any other group, neither one is good, right? Neither one. However, both are in need of what?
Salvation.
Mm-hmm. So it's about the response, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
It boils down to the response. To the response. And one response was yes, the other was
no,
right? And that's what we need to understand too. So in other words, we all need Jesus, right? We all need him, right? We all need him. Neither one was good, but that response made the difference, the response to the message. And then I want to get into another thing too. So the Pharisees, they put themselves in kind of like a double rejection here. The first rejection was John's message,
mm-hmm.
right? Want to take a stab at what the second rejection was? What do you think the second rejection was?
Jesus.
It goes back to that 31st verse again. Not only did they reject the words of the message.
Check the word.
They rejected the word, the power
mm-hmm.
of the message too.
Yes.
Just think about it. You reject the words of the message, and this goes on today. Folks reject the word of the message, and then they end up rejecting the power of the message. Okay, say that you have a beef with what I say. You have a beef with the message that I bring, right? And you reject me on that. Then, okay, now what about my testimony,
mm-hmm.
right? What about how God changed lives,
mm-hmm.
brought people out? You know, folks sitting right here right now can tell a story as to how the power of God affected and changed their lives, right? And if you don't want to hear the words, then okay, don't hear the words. Then use your eyes and see what God has done for some, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to reject that too, right? Mm-hmm. Not only will you reject the words, but you're going to also reject the work and the power as well. You see what I'm saying? And that's what these folks did. That's what these Pharisees did. Any comments or further comments on that?
One of the things that came to me as you were saying that is that all throughout Jesus' ministry and his discourse with the Pharisees, it came down to a matter of them rejecting the messenger. They didn't like John the Baptist because of the way he looked and where he came from.
Yeah.
They didn't like Jesus, and they even said, you know, do you even know who your father is or your mother, you know, your father
yeah.
is, right? They questioned, you know, his birth, illegitimate.
Yeah. You know?
And then when the words began to come out of John the Baptist's mouth and the words came out of Jesus' mouth, they rejected the message as well, right? They rejected the message. And then, as you were saying, they rejected the power of the message as well
yeah.
that was revealed right before their eyes, just like everybody else saw.
Yes, sir.
And this showed how reprobate they were
yeah.
Because they even saw Lazarus being raised from the dead mm-hmm. after 4 days. And the only thing they could think to do was, we got to hurry up and kill it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just Jesus, but we got to hurry up and kill
mm-hmm.
Lazarus too. We got to maybe put him to death because we got to wipe this away.
Mm-hmm.
So they rejected the messenger, the message, and the power of
they did.
The message.
They had to reject
and when
that.
You get to that point,
I mean, you are reprobate. There's basically no more help.
What else can we do?
Nothing else is coming.
What else can we do?
Yeah.
And just to add to what you were saying as well, is that, well, I'm sorry, we had a comment from
the chat box.
The chat box.
Yes, yes, sir. From brother Tim here, profession also implies doing something for hire for the money. If you're doing something unprofessionally, you're doing it usually not for hire. And then he cites here Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 3. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but to not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Matthew 23:3.
Exactly. You don't practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. That's true. And to build on the point that you just made, because it's interesting, I also read and heard something else this week, and it was from Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, no, it was from Spurgeon. And he said this in a message. Sometimes folks are looking for every answer. You know, they want to examine everything that is said and want an answer to everything that is stated. And every question that they have, they want an answer to it. To some point, faith has got to come in, right? And he gave the example of a man in a burning building in terms of salvation. And then all of a sudden the fire department comes and the fire department is saying, jump, jump. And he says, okay, will that catch me? Yes, jump, jump. Okay, all right. Okay, but I'm 200 some odd pounds, and how much can that resist? Flames are just, you know, and they said, jump, man, you're in danger. Your life is, come on, man. Okay. Is that nylon, or is it, what's it made out of, you know? What is it made out of? And then they say, man, we'll explain it later. Right now, just jump. Right? You'll understand it better by and by. Right now, just jump. Right? Just jump. And that's where some people are stuck at. Right? They're stuck there. They want you to answer every single thing. But to some extent, it takes faith as well, and you just got to jump. You just got to jump, right? Man, don't preoccupy yourself with what it's made out of. Look at these flames. Don't you feel the heat? Don't you feel the heat? Don't you feel the pressure for time? You better go in and jump, right? Any other comments or questions?
Pastor, I remember a young man that was in the hospital. And he was dying of cirrhosis of the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up there, me and Dover, to talk to him about salvation.
Mm.
We told him, his whole family was like Jehovah's Witnesses. We told him, man, they already said that you don't have that long to live.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you ain't got anything to lose by believing that Jesus suffered, bled, and died. Do you know he said, no, I don't want to have it. In a matter of hours, he was in eternity.
Yeah, this thing has eternal implications, don't it? Internal implications. And it's deep. It's just jump. Just jump, right? Just jump. And here's how one person boiled this down. They said, Jesus right here did not try to mask what this parable was. In fact, this was one of the few where Jesus just gave the answer up front, right? And he gave it up front, but by the simple fact that the Pharisees knew the answer and they gave the answer, right. Guess what that did? That made them guilty. Right. That made them guilty. How did it make them guilty? They knew the answer. How did the way they respond make them guilty. How do y'all think? We already covered it, but I just want to make sure y'all got it. They said the two sons, which one did right? They had the right answer. They said the first one. Did they do it though?
No, he did it first.
Huh? They did this, right?
That's what they did.
They did this, but actually they did, in the end, they did this.
Mm-hmm.
No, but they said, hey, the first son did what was right. Then the question is if you know the answer, then
why aren't you doing it?
Why aren't you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So if they had the right answer, then why didn't they have the right response?
They see, didn't believe the answer.
And that's it. That's it. They rejected the message, the messenger,
and the power,
and the power of it as well, right? And they showed their guilt by answering it, right? You know, if I were them, I would have came back, huddled up, and said, I don't know. A second time, right? But no, they took the bait, didn't they? They took the bait and they said, man, this is so easy, man. Duh, the first sign. And before it got good out their mouth, they knew they messed up.
Yeah,
right?
They messed up.
They knew they messed up because they knew their response was yes and no. But the proper response is, if you're going to say no at first, then repent after you hear the truth and say yes. And that is, because regret has that word regret, if you look at it, that has that implication of saving faith in there, right? You're right. And so how one author put it, he says, here's the point. Doing is more important than saying. And he says, let's just cut the chase. Doing is more important than saying. But when I heard that walked all down our street today. And how does it walk down our street? Let's bring this thing to a close here. How does this walk down our street when you hear doing is more important than saying?
You can hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
And not do. James brought that up.
Yeah.
Be a doer of the word and just hear us home.
Be a doer of the word. That's right. Now let's break it down even more. Let's break it down to church life. We need people to do things. And they say, will you do it? And they say,
yes.
Yeah.
Of course I will.
Yes, I will. And they don't say,
yeah.
Yeah. They say, yeah, what time? What time? What time you need me there? Y'all doing what? Okay, yeah. When you want to? Yeah. and they sell it. They sell it, don't they? Yeah.
We all said it's done.
It's done. And then all of a sudden, you know, folks that are organizing programs and everything else, they say, okay, we got it covered. We're good. Program day come?
No.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Sister Brenda, so-and-so was going to be there to do the curtains. What's happening to the curtains? They said yes. But today the curtains need to be worked. El Julie, can you slide in and just do it? Huh?
Wow.
Right? Right. I'm talking about church work.
Yeah.
Church work, right? And let's get some more examples. What how else? Let's say outside the church. Let's see it on your job or in the home. How does this apply even here? Doing is more important than saying. Yeah. Right?
And I do have one thought. So, like, with the second person, so if they were to say, like, you can take saying yes as, like, they have teaching, they got an understanding of it, but if they ended up just rejecting it at the end, that would put them in a worse situation.
It would. You're right.
Somebody that says no.
Yeah.
Their actions portray no, and their outcome was no.
And in fact, you're right, because when the Pharisees did say yes, right? I mean, when they said yes, they had full understanding, right? Remember, I said when you're a Pharisee, you went through extensive training and everything else. So they were familiar with the truth. They were familiar with the truth, and they still said
no,
no, in the end, right? And so yeah, you're right.
What about the people who have the full intentions and really in their heart that they really say yes, that they want to do it, but when the time comes, they don't do it? But is that the same?
For salvation?
For salvation.
For salvation, a yes is a yes.
Ain't no purgatory, right?
Yeah.
Even the world says,
if you have every intent to do it, my suggestion to you is jump.
Right. That's not really I'll get around to it type of thing. But with other actual things in real life, then yeah, I guess.
Yeah. In actual real life, you probably had every intent, washing
the dishes,
or cleaning the garage, or whatever. Every intent to, right? Yes, sir.
I was listening to a song, and it says, it takes faith to step out on nothing and believe that something is there.
That's it.
So the man upstairs where the fire was, the fire was going to get him because he didn't have faith to jump. That's everything was prepared for him.
That's
but
it.
He refused to take that success.
Takes faith to jump out on nothing. Yes.
Prepared for.
That's it. That's it. That's good.
You know, one of the other things too, Pastor, is with this, with the category of people who say yes, but in their heart they mean no, and actions mean no. It may happen, but I find it hard to believe deep down inside, if you're alone with the person, that they truly ever meant to say yes. That yes was yes is perhaps in terms of encountering different individuals. Sometimes people say yes because they want to look good in front of other people. They want you from an evangelistic perspective. They want you to quote unquote go away. So they'll say what they think you want to hear. But deep down inside, they have no intention. I think there's a big difference between that and situations arising that prevent you, right? From fulfilling your obligation. You gave the commitment to open the curtain for Mother Brenda, but on the drive here, you ran out of gas, you were in a car accident. You didn't purposely, I hope, run around town and perfectly plan your gas tank to be empty.
And I think from that way.
And that's where you were.
That's going. Where I was going.
Right.
Thank you.
Because God will reward.
That's right.
He will reward faithfulness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But we've all been there in one way, shape, or form where we never planned to do what we said in terms of the yes.
Mm-hmm.
We just said it to get off the phone, to watch the movie, to play the game, do whatever it is.
Yeah.
But when it comes from a spiritual perspective, one of the things that hit me with the Pharisees is God has a way of proving himself. So even in their saying yes, based upon all the other information, that was conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want to embrace it or not, their acknowledgement was a personal conviction. But yet, despite that, in their hearts, we want none of this. We know the right thing.
Yeah.
We definitely know.
Yeah.
We're the learned ones. If anyone knew the way, it was the Pharisees. But in their heart, there was not the complete, wholehearted faith and trust. And therefore, they saw in them, their rejection came out as an attack against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And for believers, we are often attacked by those who don't want to say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Everything comes out, excuses. But yeah, I think there's a distinction there in terms of the desire, the godly desire to do, and circumstances get in the way. But you also ask forgiveness. You don't leave Mother Lester in Lake Leftfield. You get gas in your car, you get to the phone. I'm sorry, I wasn't there to do this. You still don't let that go.
Yeah.
But the Pharisees, this was conviction. yeah. written all over them, and yeah. they wanted to attack the messenger.
Yeah, and I think all of you, when you go down that route and express that point, I think those are legitimate points. But when it gets down to salvation,
yes, sir,
you can't get to heaven on good intentions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
The road,
to heaven is paved with good intentions.
right? You can't. Yep. Yeah, but not to diminish you all's point.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But when it comes to salvation, do you see a middle road in there anywhere?
No, sir.
Third option?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's either yes or it's no.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about the takeaways in just a couple minutes we have. Well, what's the takeaway here? Doing is more important than saying. Is that the consensus? Is that the takeaway? Or anybody else want to bless us with an insight that they may have not come with and now they have?
Brother teacher, I was looking at the fact that all of them are Jews. And Jesus gave them both an opportunity to go into the vineyard. You got a vineyard situation here from Abraham all the way back as he was supposed to bring the world back. I mean, his seed. Here they are, supposed to be law-abiding citizens of the law. The law itself.
Right.
All of them. They all knew this. And the ones who said, I will not, to change their mind and regret it, more than likely thought about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the second ones, because they was all proud and all full of pride and all of this, mm-hmm. said I will, but didn't even do it because they was in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was I see that as a problem as well. I mean, you can look at it in a different way, but I was looking at it like that as well. Because the vineyard is there for others.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to, at this time, this is what John the Baptist is telling them, we need to repent. Repent so we can do what God's will, what he has told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We find out in Matthew 28, right in the first Acts, the first chapter, where both of them was talking about evangelistic outreach for all, for the church, not only for the Jews, but for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not only have we seen that in Romans 1, but nonetheless, I think it was an evangelistic thing that they was missing.
Yeah.
It was their vineyard here.
Yeah.
But did regret it. I mean, rejected at first, but then accepted. And then others, amen, just flat out saying, we will go.
Yeah.
And really was lying. Yeah. It's hypocrites.
Yeah. And you know, here's what I got out of it. I hope I don't confuse y'all with this, but. In my thinking, this is what I got. Many of us come here. We come here. We're like the unworthy and the scum and everything else, right? But then all of a sudden, you know, we get in church, we get to living right, you know, for 2, 3, 4, 15, 20 years. We get to living right. And then somehow we become...
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Somehow, all of a sudden, we slip into a Pharisee type
mm-hmm.
mode, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, when they come, you see what I'm saying? When they come, when the new tax collectors and prostitutes and everything come,
mm-hmm.
it's like we forgot that we were.
Mm-hmm. So that's for some of you. Right?
Yeah, we forgot that we were tax collectors and prostitutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we gotten here.
Yeah.
And we've been living this way for a while, and we're church, you know, we're church now. We know Jesus, and Jesus is mine, and yes, Lord, and you know,
and
I don't cuss, I don't chew, and hang around people that do, as Elder Williamson said. You know, we got so sanctified and everything else that we forget where we come from. And then all of a sudden when these folks come, what's our reception? If we got that type of mentality that we done forgot where we've come from, then what's their reception? You know, how do we receive them? You get what I'm saying? See, I don't want to forget where he brought me from.
Yeah.
I don't. I don't, because I don't want to get like satisfied in that sense. I want to always remember what he's done for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to always remember that I was in that building and it was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to jump. So that I can say to this brother and this sister that come, I understand. I get it. And he can meet you at the point of your need, right? And now I'm saying to you, I'm down here holding this net, saying, just jump. Just jump, right? I was in the building and I needed to jump. And then when I jumped, I got the net and I'm telling some more, just jump, right? Just jump. And that's what I got from it. I want to be the one that's holding the net.
Yeah.
That's saying, just jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. Any other comments? Or?
So in the chat, Marnie said, along the lines where you just mentioned, don't be so quick to judge others.
Yeah.
That's her takeaway.
Exactly.
I was thinking how you start is not nearly as important as how you finish.
That's what I was kind of
worried with what I was saying.
That's what you were saying.
That's kind of what I was saying. Like, better actions matter what people, better outcome. My initial thought was better upbringing doesn't always mean an outcome.
That's a good one.
That was probably the better thing.
That's true too. Yeah. All right.